Thanks for making the trip down, Mike.
Man, it's I'm glad to do it. The last time I was out here, I was thinking about it on the way out. Like, when the highway gets off or whatever, when it comes into town, it comes to, like, this hotel.
Yeah.
Right? And the last time I was here, there was a show. You must have put it on, because who else would put it on?
Yeah, it was me. Yeah, yeah.
And it was me, you, Justin Gale, and Anthony Malekas.
Oh, yeah.
You remember we saw the cops, like, kick down the door of,
yeah,
I don't know if it was a drug deal or hookers or both.
Yeah, what it was a, I believe it was a drug deal or a problem drug person. They were having kind of an episode. But I remember watching, there was a woman get, like, viciously punched in the face.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The cops, like, fucked her up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was serious. Like,
was in Delhi.
Yeah, yeah. And that show never happened.
No, it didn't, which is too bad, because it was a nice little setup.
No, we did one show there, and it was awesome, because we were supposed to do it in my church, but then the county kind of, like, said I was doing everything wrong at the time, and then so then I had to, like, move it to Rosie's there, to that place.
Yeah, yeah.
And it had a bad reputation, as you can see why, you know? And but I was like, you know, I've been there a couple times, and I knew she was nice, and it was a nice place, so I give her a shot to rebrand it or whatever.
Yeah.
Food's good. And it was a great time. We had Gavin Stevens and Black Zeus and Nick Dury, I think, for that show. Yeah, it was a good show. And it was full. And it was, like, full.
Yeah.
You know, and by all means, a great success. And then the second one was that one, and literally nobody showed up.
Not a single person, yeah.
Yeah, it was, well, yeah, it was awful. And that's when I kind of was, like, one of those things, I was like, this was right before the pandemic, too, I think, right?
It was, and it was, like, I remember there was a snowstorm. Like, the roads were shitty getting out there, too.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if people are going to go to this thing.
Everything was awful. And it made me really question whether – I haven't booked another show since. Like, I haven't booked another show since. It scared me off of booking shows. Thank God that furnace stopped. But it scared me off of it, because I was like, ah. At least I know – like, it was kind of like when you go bomb. And this is – luckily we haven't started the show officially yet.
So you can talk shop.
So we can talk a little bit of shop, so our queen, Jen Husko, doesn't get too mad at us. And we make it – I'm making an oath to our Patreon supporter, Jen Husko, our queen, that we won't talk too much shop. We're going to try to keep it to, like, real life stuff that we can all relate to. But the show hasn't begun yet, so it's shop talk for a little bit longer.
There you go.
And but it's like when you bomb and then, you know – I always like to go to a shitty room right before I have an important show.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm probably going to feel crappy when I leave that, no matter how good I do. And it'll make me want to work harder for the good show that I have to do.
I get it. That makes sense. But also, you know, if you go to a shitty room and you do well, you're like, ah, I got something here. Because this room normally sucks. They're not really into it. But if you're like, I love that for trying new stuff.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I like the pick and shovel. Remember the pick and shovel?
Honestly? I never did it.
You never did it?
Not once.
That's where I always went to test out a joke.
That's a Monday. That was a Monday.
It was a Monday, yeah.
I always went Kaylee House.
Yeah. I like to mix it up, hey?
Yeah.
Go a little Poachers, go a little Kaylee House, go a little Pick and Shovel. But Pick and Shovel was where I'd go if I had a new joke that I thought was really good.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, like, see if those old drunks that hate us being there would laugh at it.
I've heard some good stories.
It's great, though.
Losing it at Pick and Shovel.
Oh, the people that couldn't handle it?
Well, like, people that couldn't handle it, or, like, patrons just, like, drunkenly heckling.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
a real challenge. You go in there, you know you're in for probably, some sort of a challenge, you know?
You're not going to feel good about yourself at the end.
Sometimes they were beautiful, nice shows, though, to be quite honest. Yeah. And even those guys ended up... you know, like being in a good mood or whatever and liking the way that, but if there was like too many young guys talking about their problems right off the hop.
Yeah, that's it. You're done.
Yeah, they got ornery, you know.
That's like any show though. And like so many, I don't know why comics do this thing where like they just treat stand up like therapy. They're like, oh, this is my therapy. It's like, no, man, talk to a therapist. Like work this shit out.
Yeah.
And then like don't talk about, no, if this doesn't go well, I'm going to kill myself. Like, these people don't know you.
Yeah.
They're probably like, yeah, he might.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not funny at all. It's supposed to be a comedy show. We had, I talked to my therapist. I have a therapist.
Yeah.
I just saw them today. It's why I'm so exhausted. Like, I really am exhausted.
It's tiring.
Yeah, it is, right? Do you go to one?
Yeah.
It's fucking exhausting, right? And you think I didn't do nothing.
You know what it is? Because it's like, you don't realize when you're in the middle of it. And then by the end of the session, you're just like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just talked about a lot. It's like mentally exhausting.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello.
Hello, Jane. I wish I could run my soundboard because the robot usually likes to talk to you when you come in. I don't know if you know that, but the robot does talk to you when you come in. He usually says, asks you to get him a beer is what he says, just so you know. I don't know if you've been listening to the recent shows. No? Anyways, for those of you watching, my wife is here. That's it. Thank you for the Dutch Hall meat tray, Jane.
Yeah.
Oh, I should give you a round of applause. Where is my soundboard? Oh, it's down there. Okay, cool. We'll get it when we get it. What were we saying, Mike? We were saying therapist. Yeah, how exhausting it is. Yeah. And yeah, I went to him today. Anyways, he told me you should take your horrible things that happened to you in life.
Yeah.
And write about them. Mm-hmm. Right? Write jokes about them, right?
That makes sense.
And like, I not just go on stage. And so anyways, I'll tell you what I did. So then I wrote, so I had like a whole bunch of sad stuff from my childhood that I wanted to, that I was all sad. And I just wrote like a word vomit on a page, you know, like just
like free flow, just go, whatever.
Yeah. Everything I felt about it, everything. And none of it's funny at all.
Yeah.
Right. This is what a lot of these kids do on stage.
That's it.
But I did it on paper.
Yeah.
And then when I'm doing that on paper, a couple turns of phrase or something will pop out at me.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, that's funny, you know, or that there's a joke in there because if I can go about it this way and that people think, you know, whatever, you'll see the joke pop out. But it's a joke, you know, it's a joke. And it's by the time you boil down all that emotion and all that, therapy, as they would call it, then you can get to something that can say it in a clever way that you can get at it. People know what you're getting at, but it's, you're not like making them sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Know? I know exactly what you mean. I found, like, here's some shop talk for you. I've been doing this new joke and I found a way to get into it by talking about growing up with a single mom. And it like totally goes like, it's not, because, like, you say that to people and everyone's like, oh, well, that's kind of a bummer. The joke's about Titanic, about how I saw Titanic in the movie theater with my grandpa, and that was a weird one because, like, you never forget the first time that you see your grandpa's dick in a movie theater.
Yeah, because I was going titties.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what you think.
Yeah.
Kate Winslet's titties, and you end up seeing grandpa's dick. See, that's a good one. Yeah, I like it.
You never forget the first time. It wasn't the last. Like, one of those. Everyone's like, oh, he's obviously joking about this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't really do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I tell that whole thing that I'm telling you about, it's like, I'll tell you the actual subject matter and the joke.
Let's do it.
Okay? I don't mind burning it. No one fucking cares. So, the subject matter is like how I feel bad that I was called a, what do you call it? Homosexual or, now what is it called when you're homophobic slurs? I was called homophobic slurs by my father, you know?
Oh, I've seen you do this joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that, it was two pages of like just mwah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, it was like, you know, that it was, I didn't even know that word meant gay. I thought it was just something your dad called you,
to get you to stop
crying, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then, but that little phrase in there, like, it came out of like, not funny. And then once I found that, it was like, that's fucking perfect, you know? It sums it up. And then I didn't feel bad about it anymore, really. Like, cause I have this sweet joke that I love. And when I say it, it has emotion. And then when people say, hey, I remember my dad called my brother that
you're not saying it, you're like careful, but you'll say it on stage. You said it on stage.
I saw
you do it at Levity.
And I said, like, it, right?
You said it.
I said it on Sunday too at the judge. Cause I said, retarded. I've been doing a retarded bit. This is now 4 weeks in a row that I've said this on the show. So,
you know what, man, last week, I think it was last week at Levity. Were you on last week at Levity?
Or the week before? Yeah, it was.
So I was standing at the back with Jason and Patrick, and Manolis was doing, he goes, I'm going to tell this story. Nah, I'm not going to say it. I'm going to say it. You can't say retarded.
Yeah.
He goes, I know you're not supposed to say it. And I can't, he said it 7 times throughout the joke. Yeah. You know, for something you're not supposed to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You're just hammering it home, man. But like every time he said it, me and Jason were in tears.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it was just so, it just got funnier and funnier. It's like, man.
Yeah.
But. Like people were into it. He wasn't digging a hole, and no. I was like, "Oh, this is really good."
Yeah, I used it after he did because it was like he broke the seal, and it made me start thinking too. It's like, well, the way I frame my joke to use the word is I try to like give it power. Like I try to give it power.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like reclaim it, like queer. You know, because queer, yeah. They did it. Like I think they did it perfectly. Queer,
it's come full circle that now you can use it. Queer, it's like a preferred term.
Yeah, like my kids will like use the word queer with pride and stuff.
Yeah,
and my generation uses it as an insult.
Yeah,
and so like it takes me back, but they don't even see it as an insult. They're so past it, you know.
Yeah, if you're like, hey, you're a queer, like, yeah, I am. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for recognizing.
Oh no, I'm not, but but my friend is, It's a common mistake.
Yeah, or like, I grew up in the 90s, man. If someone called me a queer, you'd be like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You.
Yeah, but gay now has gotten to be more offensive. Where we use gay as the all-encompassing term.
You didn't, you weren't, it wasn't your favorite thing. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, like, not to be called gay, but to say like, like that guy's a gay person. In that way where you're saying like I have a gay friend.
Yeah.
You know, like where they I would say gay if I didn't know exactly what kind of what letter on the acronym they were. So then I would go you're gay, like to mean the all-encompassing word, and now they're saying now that's ignorant because that's only referring to one specific of letter.
That's so interesting.
And the queer is more of the all-encompassing
it's the G.
term.
It's you're just the G at that point.
Yeah. And but Q is kind of like the whole thing.
Yeah.
Which I think is great because there's too many letters. I can't even try it. Because if I try it, I'll get it wrong because I miss one. And there's a couple numbers
queer,
in there.
But queer's good to go.
Yeah, queer if it's all... Just give me one that you're cool with and it's all around and I can say it. But, you know... It's like we can fuck that one up too if we start making offensive again.
Oh yeah,
right,
real quick.
Where like the black people took the N-word and they try to reclaim it, but they still like to keep it as an insult as well.
Yeah,
and that's where you can't have it both ways.
There's I had a really good conversation with Al Val in the green room at some show because Al's trans now, so I don't know what Al's preferred like. They haven't even figured out what they want to be called yet. It's still Al Val.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're transitioning and it's a whole thing. And he's like, man, it's such fucking bullshit. He goes, I said tranny in a joke and they turned on me immediately. And he's like, I'm a tranny. I'm trans. Yeah, I can say that. And everyone's like, no, you can't. And he's like, well, what the fuck, man?
Yeah,
like,
what's the rules here?
Yeah, what are the rules?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think it should be yours to do what you want with. If it's the one, if you can be offended by it, you can reclaim it, right? Like, sure. You can make it yours again. That's
like,
what I think.
Yeah, and Al is literally trans. Like, if anybody can say it...
Yeah, Al, like, when he said he's gen...
They can say it.
Like, that's the most gender-fluid dude I know, or person I know, I should say. Like when they say gender-fluid, I used to be in an old chunk of coal or whatever. I didn't understand it.
Yeah.
You know? It's true ignorance.
Sure.
You know? And I remember talking to a non-binary person at a show... And they did that in their bit. They did, you know, about being non-binary. And then they were nice enough afterwards to field my questions, you know? And I just had a bunch of ignorant questions. Said I probably would be ignorant, but can you let me just figure this shit out?
But that's the thing. But, it's like that's for sure more appreciated than being like, I think I know what this is. I'm going to run with it.
Yeah, like I almost get a person that is, when they say fluid, you know? They mean like water, like it's like it's different, like how they feel or whatever. Like sometimes this, sometimes that, right? I get that. I get that, you know. Like I look at Al Val's Instagram account, or whatever, and I've known him mostly as a man.
Yeah,
you know, mostly. In fact, exclusively. I don't know if I've met him yet. Since they've transitioned. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you, I watch him doing the poses all decked out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, he looks like he's having a fucking great time. Like, he looks like he's having a great time,
looks like,
right?
Never been happier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, dude, so many funny bits out of it.
Right.
Like, they have one about they're taking hormones to change, like, taking estrogen. Uh-huh. And it's changing their voice. But they're like, I'm not going to change how I sound, man. Like, I just sound like a surfing animated squirrel. Like, and that's just who I am. So
yeah, yeah.
You're looking at me, you're like, what the hell is happening right now? It's like, that's just it. This is who I am. Like, yeah. All right, man. That's pretty good.
Yeah. I think it's cool. I really do think it's cool. Yeah. And when you see a person that's like, that when they're expressing themselves and that joy comes out of them. So, and that freedom, like the word that his act's getting better, their act's getting better, their everything's getting better. You're like, yeah, this is right for that person. Like, this is right. You know, this is a real thing. This is obviously the right thing for this person, you know?
No, it's true. Yeah. And they're just crushing it. Super funny before times. And now that they're like embracing who they are.
Yeah.
You're right. Like they're just open. It's, 1,000%. It's night and day.
Yeah, I know. If we can only get Joe to admit what he really is, then we can see that little fella get out of his shell, you know?
Yeah, one day. Yeah, maybe he'll stop being so shy and just embrace it.
Just get it in your mouth, buddy. Well, we should start this show, Mike. That's enough comedy talk for Jen.
Yeah, there you go.
We got to do this thing, and don't have Kevin. So I have to do this thing that we call the theme song. Oh. People a sense of comfort.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Welcome everyone to the Dutch Hall. We are coming to you from Pine Grove on a beautiful Tuesday evening. This is a Thursday that you're listening to us on all the podcast platforms, but right now we are live on Facebook and YouTube. In the Dutch Hall, and we have a guest here from Hamilton, Ontario. I'm very lucky to have him. He is a return guest. He's been here once before, right, Mike?
Yeah, it was a few years back, too.
Like, yeah, like a brewery show.
Yeah.
And I think a snowstorm, too, and it was a bunch of comics.
Me, Jason Allen, Michael Moses.
Oh, yeah?
I remember it was, yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Because we were set up over there.
Yeah, there was
the band it was over here.
Honestly, every time I run out of ideas, I rearrange the furniture in here.
Like it feels like a brand new space.
Yeah, it always because then it does feel like it, and then it gets stale, and I feel like I need to change things up, so I change things up. We're gonna get into that too once we get these introductions out of the way. He's also this guy that we're just talking to here. He's also the co-creator star of the television program This Is a Thing, which you can see on what you can see it on.
It's on Bell 5 TV 1, which is like the hardest, and unless you're a Bell subscriber.
I saw it on YouTube when it was available.
Yeah,
we
put it up for a week.
I'll tell you, I love that you did that because I couldn't get the other thing.
We got a lot of messages of people being like, oh my God, finally. It's like, oh,
yeah.
Can you tell Bell that you want to watch it? Like, tell them and maybe we'll get some more money or something.
Yeah. Well, I think so. Like, it's definitely... You must get... anyways, we have to introduce you.
Yeah, sorry. This is my fault. I just keep...
Ladies and gentlemen, he's also a stand-up comedian, and I've been lucky enough to work with him for a number of years now. I'm just going to say it. Mike Mitchell, everybody. Mike Mitchell. Oh, and can you say two-time when I say two-time?
Two-time?
Yeah, when I say two-time, you say it.
Okay.
And I'm the host of this show, and two-time. President's Club Award winner, Pete Van Dyke. Oh, no audience for that? What's that?
They're just recovering.
Yeah, they were recovering. They were distracted from that introduction. Anyways, they're a shitty crowd tonight. I'm not going to lie to you, Mike. They're slow, they're unresponsive, and they're not laughing at my jokes.
That's okay.
But the people at home are enjoying it. You just can't see that, right? I'm going to put this away. I don't want to deal with this until the end of the show. So I'm going to put this back here. Okay. So I want to tell you, right now, this is the first time we're in a two-person setup. If you're watching us live, it's a two-shot. It's just the two of us. It's a tight space. This is a new setup. You're the first to be doing it in this setup.
Over my shoulder, right?
Yeah, I can see the monitor.
Oh, there you go.
And this is because Dan Brennan was in last week, and he comes into our studio. I had everything set up so we could roll, and it's a pretty permanent setup. Like, I got things so that you don't have to walk under a lot of wires. And then he totally says, "Hey, Pete, I'm too far away. It's just the two of us. Why don't I make it closer?" It made me rearrange the whole thing. But then I started thinking that old weird guy is right, you know, because it's more intimate this way. If I was behind all of my equipment behind the desk there and you were on the other side of the room, wouldn't seem as much.
That's true.
But sometimes I am looking like this at the camera because I want to be like
just look right into it.
Mr. TV. Yeah. But nobody's really watching.
Break the fourth wall and speak directly
at the camera.
Them.
Yeah. Say, "Hey guys,
hey,
go to my website, Live from the Dutch Hall, and click on my Amazon banner. Do some of your Amazon shopping there." Huh?
Do you get money when people
do
that?
I get about 2 checks a year.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey man, that's not bad.
Oh yeah, it's almost like $250.
Really?
A year.
Hey, whatever. That's found money.
Well, yeah, it's just from people being nice enough to click the link because it doesn't cost them anything. They don't really get a savings.
Yeah.
It just
helps you.
It just takes some of Bezos' money, gives it to me.
Yeah. He's got some money that he can give out.
Yeah. He's building rocket ships that look like a dick. And all I'm asking for is to tell stupid dick jokes with my friends.
Yeah.
Is that so much to ask?
No.
Yeah, give it to me.
And you're getting paid for it.
You're right.
That's it.
And I also get the money from the Patreon lady.
Nice.
Jen, who's like, she's basically giving...
Jen, what are you paying him per month?
Yeah, she pays me per month. $10.
$10 a month?
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's $120 a year.
Oh,
man.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Between that and Amazon.
Fucking, we're talking like...
Yeah.
I almost paid my podcast fees for hosting. Yeah. When you see the big shows... and they're making all that money, you know, like some podcasts make a lot of money.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And mine doesn't. No, not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's nice though. We get like real listeners, like real people all over the world.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. You know, we got a guy in Australia that milks cows and listens to us.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
And
good
he's been
you.
For years. And I can sleep on his couch now if I want to.
Like, you have that relationship with him now that when inevitably you go to
Australia. Never met him. Don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever even seen a picture of him. But I have had numerous messages back and forth with him. He listens to our programs on the regular.
It's pretty solid.
He stopped listening to all other comedy podcasts except ours. This is a World War II podcast and ours.
I like him already.
And just for him, you want to tell a Hitler story?
Yeah, I got some Hitler stories.
You do?
Yeah, I have an entire sleeve of like a World War II tattoo sleeve.
You do?
Yeah, man. Did you know that? Yeah, look.
Are you really a World War II nut? Like
yeah, dude. I have a poppy on my elbow. I got Mitchell bombers up here because I'm a Mitchell, obviously.
Yeah.
And I have the nose art for the one that's at the Warplane Heritage Museum that's on the inside of my arm here.
Did you have relatives serve?
I have no idea. No, I have no idea. Probably.
Just drawn to the...
I'm super... You know what it is, man? I sound like a psycho when I say this. It's like the psychology behind Nazis is like mind-blowing to me.
Is that why there's so many documentaries on it?
Yeah, because there's like – dude, I've read like books about the psychology, but like there's this thing, Operation Paperclip, which there's a show on Amazon called Hunters,
right,
which is basically about Operation Paperclip. Do you know what it's all about?
I don't think so. I saw Hunting Hitler.
It's fucked up.
What's Paperclip? Tell me.
So Operation Paperclip, they call it that because high-ranking Nazi like scientists and officials, mostly scientists, were smuggled out of Germany into the U.S. and their files were marked, like they had like a paperclip saying like who they were, so they would pull it off to be like, no, this guy's not a Nazi, don't worry about it.
Oh, right, right.
So they could beat the Russians in the space race to put all of their like technology into rockets. It's fucking crazy, dude. Like, people, like war criminals getting a pass, it's like, yeah, we just got to beat Russia to the moon, so don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it. It's like it's like if you had like a super team, kinda. Like these guys were one country, right? Like it's the Norm Macdonald joke, and they took on the world, right?
And they almost won.
Yeah, so they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Right. So then once they break up, they're like, hey, you guys like can't. You guys are bad. Like you can't keep doing. But like your guys that made you good.
Yeah.
We want you guys to make us good now.
Well, and the thing is, too, it's like they don't just stop being Nazis because they lost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like they lost. Like, all right, well, yeah, no, you're right. We should probably go back on this.
Yeah. See, I always kind of thought of them more like hired guns, you know, like that.
Like mercenaries.
That they, like Einstein, for example, they use his brain to help. With the atomic bomb or something.
Yeah, they brought him in for like the Manhattan Project and like.
Yeah, like and that, like he didn't agree with it, but he was like kind of like they're using him for their evil purposes.
Yeah,
you know,
it's the lesser of two evils, but like slightly lesser.
Yeah,
like only slightly
because we live there.
Yeah. It's it.
Yeah, it's a thing about like the more when I was a kid, I believed we were always on the side of good, and now I don't believe it. Like, I don't have the same conviction, at least, you know, that we're on the side of good, especially the U.S. You know what's funny is that, Mike, like, when I was a kid, I don't know if it was the same with you, because you're a bit younger than me, but I thought that U.S. was the greatest country in the world, right?
I fully bought in.
Yeah, because they said it all the time, and I thought it was true.
Yeah.
And then we go across the border, you know, and no matter where you cross... It's real nice on our side and real, like, sketchy.
It sucks as soon as you cross the border, man.
Yeah. Like, the moment you cross into Detroit, you're like, people are waiting to...
Me and, a group of friends a few years back, we had tickets to see the Detroit Tigers and Blue Jays. So we had the Wednesday night game and the Thursday afternoon game, and then we were going home. Dude, fuck, that was such a sketchy trip. But, like, we got in. We pulled over the border. And there was a cop, like not far past the border. So we rolled up to, like, a stop sign. And we asked, like, where – I don't know. Like, we were lost. We were trying to find the hotel. And the cop's like, hey, yeah, I wouldn't stop if I were you. Just keep rolling. We'll see the Ontario plates. You're all good. Just don't stop. And we're like, oh, fuck. Okay. We've been in Detroit for, I don't know, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. I tried to buy weed off a homeless guy after – fuck, that's so sketchy. After the after the Jays game, and I went up to the guy. I was like, hey, man, you know where I can get some weed? And this like, huge security guard's like, keep walking, white boy. You don't want that.
Yeah.
I guess probably listen to this guy. We ended up buying weed off a cab driver, and we didn't have anything to smoke it with. So we tore a page out of the hotel Bible to roll a joint because it was the thinnest paper that we could think of.
It's probably been used more for that than reading.
100%. Yeah. But yeah, no, it's so sketchy, man.
Yeah.
We walked back to the hotel after the afternoon game too. And it was like middle of the day. Like we're getting like mercilessly heckled honestly, if the Jays won, I would have been like, we're taking a cab. Like we're not, got smoked. So I thought we were going to be fine.
Yeah.
It was,
they're big.
Scary.
It's serious business when you wear the wrong jersey in the US. It's different than it is in Canada.
Yeah.
In Canada, there's like a spirited rivalry, you know, you'll get people shouting back and forth. Like when I remember being a Leafs fan, in an Ottawa Senators game in Ottawa, you know, and when you did that, it was like, or being a Leafs fan in Buffalo.
Leafs fan in Buffalo that's a rough one too, man.
Leafs fan in Buffalo, you're okay in the regular season, but in the playoffs, you think you're okay, and you go there, and you're not okay anymore. Now they're gonna kill you. Yeah, like it's playoffs make a huge difference in Buffalo, I think everyone in the States, especially football, like if you wear the opposing colors in, like you're you got balls.
Yeah. It's true. You know, it's so funny though too. So I have two stories. My mom took me and my cousin to a Leafs and Sabres game on New Year's Day 2000. I was wearing a Team Canada jersey and my cousin was wearing a Leafs jersey, and the Leafs lost like 8-1. Like, they got crushed. But every single goal, the fans in front of us turned around and were like screaming. And like, we're, dude, I'm not a big guy now, and I'm a fully grown adult. This is as big as I'm ever going to get. When I was 13,
you're a 13-year-old?
I was 13. Yeah. I was just like, holy shit. Like, my mom's there. Like, they didn't care at all. Yeah, and you're talking about football too. So one thing that I've noticed about Canadian football, people just wear whatever jersey they have.
Yeah.
They don't care. It's like, it's a football jersey. I'm fine with this.
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no allegiance unless you're like
Like,
unless it's like Ticats and Argos.
Argos, yeah.
But even Ticats games, like, you'll get guys showing up in like, I've seen people in Colts jerseys and like Steelers, I get it because it's close enough, but yeah.
You know what I find weird? It's not only if you go there with the other team's jersey on. If you go with no jersey on,
yeah.
you go like just wearing regular clothes. Which is the only way I've ever gone to a game in my entire life, you know?
Yeah,
regular clothes. Because I don't play for the fucking team, right?
Like I didn't earn this. I bought this.
Yeah, I'm not playing. Like, I don't need to wear a jersey.
Yeah.
And so,
you don't say we when you're watching the team. It's like, oh, we won last night.
So, no. I used to, though. When I was into it, yeah. When I was young, I was into different sports. I think I was into, like, I like watching hockey. And I've always tried to not be a Leafs fan.
Sure.
Like, I try my best not to do it because they broke my heart so many times and they don't seem to have any chance of winning ever. I've gone to a lot of different hockey games because my brother-in-law played in the NHL, so I've been lucky to...
Who's your brother-in-law?
Ryan Vandenbush.
I think I knew that. He's been on your podcast before.
Yeah, lots of times. He tells a dandy of a story about his ayahuasca experience on the last one he was on.
Yeah.
And he, on the very first one he was on, it's actually one of our top rated episodes. It just fell off the top 10 though, actually, but it was Pete's birthday, it was called. And, he comes in and I was spinning the wheel and it was tell your lose your virginity story.
Nice.
Oh my God. He tells a story there. It's so funny. My sister was really mad at him for telling it because
that's how you know it's a good story.
Yeah. Long story short, I think is this: he ended up, he wasn't sure if that was as counted as his first time or not because he came before putting the condom on.
Oh, that's
and
hilarious.
Then he just held the condom full of jizz, and then
like
just tried to shove like held it on, tried to shove it in. I think that's how the story went.
That's fucking funny, man.
Yeah, it's funny, and he tells it in just like matter of fact, like it gives it to me like a beautiful gift. You know what happened? The show that just went out last week with my buddy Beaver was in here.
Yeah.
We hadn't even started the show yet. And then he says, I've never pulled out of a girl ever.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm like, you have to break that down. And then we did.
Yeah, you do have to break that down.
Right?
Oh, what are you doing?
You ever heard of a guy that makes that claim? I heard my cousin says he never peed sitting down ever.
He's lying.
Right?
He has to be lying.
He goes, no, I've never peed sitting down. Like, sometimes pee comes out when I poo, he says, but I've never peed sitting down.
Well, like, you always pee when you poo, but you never poo. You don't always poo when you pee.
That's right.
Think about that.
So if you don't want to poo, stand up to pee.
Yeah.
I've never had a surprise poo either. My wife always has these surprise poos.
Yeah.
She says she's going for a pee, then she's gone a long time. I'm like, what happened to you? She's
like, yeah, it just happened.
Yeah, I had a surprise poo.
I've had a couple of those.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. I've sharted, though. I made the mistake of telling my daughter that I sharted.
How old was your daughter when you told her?
3.5.
Yes, I did the same thing.
Yeah.
Because she shit her pants, too, and she was upset.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, dude, don't worry about it. I did it twice in the last couple of years.
Exactly.
I was like, two times?
I'm a drinker.
Oh, I'm like, I'm a drinker. You're going to find that out, kid.
That was really what I said. Yeah.
That's so funny, man. I was just like, no, you know what? I was really sick. I trusted when I shouldn't have. Here we are.
Happens from time to time. It's an accident. You can't beat yourself up over it. Move on. I know you can do it in the toilet. One time, my young daughter, she was toilet trained, so she would have been around 3.
Yeah.
And she's very flatulent, right? She was very flatulent. She's not anymore. She's 18. She's not flatulent anymore.
Or she's gotten good at hiding it.
Man, but I mean, she was so proud of it, and I was proud of her, too. Like, I remember drawing, like, a cartoon character of her.
Yeah.
And we were trying to think of her superpower, and we made her, what was it called? It was like My Stinky Butts or something like that. Like it was like a goofy classic name that kids would like.
Yeah.
And if I had entertained, if I did be stand-up comic for like 4 year olds or something like that,
you'd crush.
I would crush, dude. Yeah. Just poopy pants this and yeah, fart nose. You know, you just mix up a couple things like that and they're rolling. Anyways, great audiences.
You just get, you just, if you can add poo or pee to a song that they already know.
Oh my God.
Oh, tear the house down.
Oh yeah. I love it. Anyways, fun age. So my daughter, very flatulent, knows that I get a real kick out of her flatulence. Good for a laugh always, right? So she's got one brewing. Thinks she's going to like get me. She I'm lying on the couch. She jumps up on me, tries to fart on me, and shits herself on me.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Her How old is she?
She's like three. She's just like.
So funny.
Yeah, and then her face turns to horror, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then just crying, and she's, you know, just inconsolable. But it's hilarious, you know?
It's so funny.
Yeah, like, I mean, I can tell, like, it's nothing that your age is, like, the only thing her age was causing was her not to understand how hilarious this is, you know?
Yeah, yeah. She's embarrassed. She's like.
Yeah.
There's no going back from this.
If she did to me now as an 18-year-old, if she did the same thing and then shit her pants.
It would actually be even funny.
Yeah. I think she would probably, well, she'd probably still be embarrassed, but she would definitely laugh.
She'd be laughing about it, though, like, quickly. Yeah.
And I would be the one probably more crying from the adult shit on me. No. Still going to be a shard and through the underpants and everything. She wasn't still, like, bare bum on me or nothing. Worst thing that ever happened to me, Mike, was one time I brought my kids to Disney World.
Yeah.
And it wasn't for them. It was for me because they were free, right?
Yeah.
So it was before – my one was just about to turn three and the other one was a year and a half. They're not going to remember it. It's not for them
at all. They're not making memories.
No, it's just for me. So I'm bringing them down there because they're free, but I like Disney World anyways. And I like to see I'd like to see it through little kids' eyes, you know? So, but we get the flu real bad, real bad.
Yeah.
So we're in a hotel room, the cheap one, because we're really poor. And then we just kept shitting and puking all over the bedspreads. And then we just throw them into onto the balcony. And the maid would have, we said, get another batch, you know?
Oh my God. That's so funny.
It was gross. And then one time my daughter, like, you know, she'd get sick. So I'm like, I have to change her, and then I bring her to the shower to wash her bum, you know. So I just say, I'll bring her in the shower and just put her bum up by the shower head, and she pukes into my mouth, like curdled milk.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was the worst. Like just projectiles in with my face, and it goes right into my mouth.
That's so gross.
And the next day, I had the flu.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's how you get
works.
The flu. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. I think about that often when I eat poutine. Because of those cheek curds. I'm like, that's what it was like. It was awful.
Oh, my God.
Man, it's because you're holding the baby, too, like still. So you want to just drop the baby and spit and watch your face. But you still got to, like, hold the baby and do all that stuff.
Dude, I have the worst gag reflex, too. Like, the amount of times that I've, like, my daughter now when she throws up, she's like, Dad, pull my hair. Like, hold my hair back. I'm like, all right, cool. Like, you know. But like if I hear it and I can smell it, I'm like, I start gagging immediately.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a good, I probably would have barfed on my kid if she threw up in my mouth. I'd barf right back on her. It would be like instant.
I can't even remember if I did or didn't because it's so gross. It's almost like it's all blur after it happened.
You blacked out.
Yeah. It's just like that's horrible. I just remember bringing the kid back to my wife and just being like, that's horrible.
This is yours now.
Yeah, I've had a few of those things. One time I was giving my kids a bath. They're both daughters, right?
Yeah.
You have a daughter, too.
I do.
And I remember being like, I don't know if I should tell this story, but it's like, I remember, they're little kids, right? They're little kids. I'm giving little kids a bath, and then all of a sudden I run out of the bathroom saying to my wife, I'm uncomfortable. I want you to handle this, right? And she thought, because I had back problems, that it was my back, you know? But I go, no, it's not my back. It's the fact that one of our children just pulled some of their lady parts out and said, look, Dad, bubble gum. Right?
Yeah, like, I can't do this anymore.
And I'm like, I'm out. Tap, tap, tap. Don't know the appropriate response, you know, but me yelling, no, shame.
It's like not, that's
it's so probably funny. Not going to help her out.
You don't want to fuck him up, but also, like, don't do that. That's so, my daughter's I have no problem telling this because I think it's super funny. Because, like, we use all the proper words for everything. Penis, vagina, like, whatever.
Yeah,
like,
medical.
Yeah, you don't want to. I think it fucks kids up more. Mm-hmm. If you're just like, oh, this is your dinky. This is your. Allison, like, my girlfriend Allison was saying that when she was a kid, her parents called her and her sister's vagina Tweedler. Who's that for? That doesn't help.
That sounds bad.
Yeah. Is it tweezers? Is it a needle? It's not like, what is that?
You know my friend Tara called hers? Or that, parents called hers?
Yeah.
This was because I told that Dinky versus Chopper thing. Yeah, she knows Chopper. And she goes, you know what my parents call my vagina? My ucky.
Wow.
My ucky.
That'll fuck you up.
Yeah, yeah.
For a while,
you're
too.
Not going to feel comfortable having some dude eat your ucky, eh?
No.
No.
No, not at all. But like, so my daughter's like, she's curious. And like, she thinks that like, poo, pee, penis is the funniest thing in the world. But like, she's never seen a penis. So she's always like, Dad, she's like a divorced age. She's like, Dad, show me your penis. Just show me your penis. Come on. And I'm like, no, man.
Yeah.
It's like the same subtlety too. It's like,
yeah.
Just show me your penis.
Come on. I want to know what it looks like. I know it's there.
Let me see it.
Give me a glint. No, glimpse. It's a glimpse.
No. I'll get you a book in like 10 years and you can look at that. Like,
oh, that's funny. Yeah. It's funny. Cause it's innocent. It's pure innocence. You know,
oh, yeah.
Like it's pure innocence. Just pure like academic, you know,
yeah.
But it is funny. Oh, kids are great. Some of the things they do, like, you know what my daughter did when she was like a young teenager? My one daughter did this and it was diabolical. I never thought of it.
Diabolical. It's a good
but
word.
When she wanted privacy in her room,
yeah,
what she would do is she would take off all her clothes because she
Genius.
Knows if I came in.
Yeah, I would turning right around.
I would turn right around.
Yeah.
And I did it. And like I remember those moments where I just barged in and then turned right around.
Damn it. Yeah.
And but I thought, I should have, why the heck would you be naked? I never thought about that time of day. You know, whatever, you know, but I didn't know it was on purpose. And then she told me later on, that she did that on purpose to keep me out of the room.
So smart.
Yeah. It's so diabolical.
That is.
My cousin, back in the day, we had like big dishes and stuff. Like, then we could get porno, like triple ecstasy and stuff. And then you could
satellite
put
satellite dishes.
Satellite dishes, yeah. And because we lived on farms.
Yeah.
So then you could put a parental lock on it, right? To keep your kids out of the porno.
Yeah.
So then, my one cousin, he like, him and his brother would try to like figure out the code. And so they finally figured out the code. And then, so my one cousin's like, this is great. We figured out the code. We're going to be able to go watch porn whenever we want.
Yeah.
And then my other cousin's like, you know what? Let's change it.
Oh,
so he doesn't know what the code is. And then it's our porn. Hey,
that's even better. That's a smart,
man. That's stepping the game up.
That is.
Then his dad's going to have to come to them, ask for
like,
the porn.
What's the porno code, man? Like, come on.
Come on. I'm building up.
That's so funny.
I never even would have thought like that as a kid. Like when my cousin told me that, I was like, that's the most genius. And
it actually is genius. And like, is your dad going to cop to it and be like, listen, man, like I need that code.
Yeah.
Okay? Like just give me the code.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great. I wish if I could have thought of that and done it to my dad, that would have been such a great joke. Cause you know, he would be like just dying to give you shit for it.
But yeah. But at the same time, there's things. Yeah. Like you see your kids do stuff and you're just like, fuck, I don't want to laugh at this. But it's very smart. It's really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But also like time and a place kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah, I still can't get mad even at adults. You know, my kids are adults really, and I can't get mad at them. And they do something that's like really honest. Like it's funny because it's really honest.
Yeah.
Like it's just they just say something that's like so straightforward, and that's what really kills me still.
Like Beaver saying he's never pulled out.
Never pulled out. Just gives that information up. And then you say, like, what about, like,
is that? Did it come up? Or he's like, hey, guys, you know what I was thinking about today?
Never pulled out.
Never pulled out.
We're talking about something else, I think. And he just blurts it in the middle. He just wants to make sure.
He wanted to make sure that we knew about it.
Never pulled out. And then I was like, is that because you're always wearing a condom and then you're blowing in the condom, but that's still in? You're not pulling out? And he goes, no.
I just want to think, his name's Beaver, he's probably not wearing a condom.
Yeah, not very often.
Not very often.
Plus, he's hung like a horse, I think, too. So he probably busts a lot of them. He busts the first one, he said, and then he just did it the bad way.
He's like, that's it.
Yeah.
Never going back.
Like, I don't pull it now because I have a vasectomy.
There you go.
And because we don't need to see it. But every once in a while, it'd probably be nice just to see it. Just put one on the tummy just to have a look at it.
Like, oh, yeah, that's what you look like.
Yeah, you want to see if you still got, like, how much you're producing or whatever. You ever, like, just see volume?
Yeah. And then sometimes you're like, oh, that's it?
Mm-hmm.
You're a little disappointed?
I have because of my cancer, I have, like...
Oh, yeah, you had cancer.
No, I have.
You still do?
Yeah, they didn't treat me.
What?
No, I just... It lives in my body.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know.
So cancer has Pete.
You know, this is the truth of my cancer, Mike, which is never funny when I tell jokes about it. But it's like my treatment is called waitful watching. Yeah, so they just watch the cancer inside my body continue to
grow.
Do its thing. Yeah, grow.
Fuck.
And then they see how much it's affecting my life negatively.
Yeah. Did you tell them that you started a podcast?
No, I had that before. and then they just tell me to come back. And then they'll do it again. They'll see again.
It's wild.
So, because they have to balance how bad your life is without treatment.
Yeah.
And how close you are to death, I guess. And then they have to, versus like how bad you'd be off taking the chemo.
Okay. Okay.
And they're saying right now your life's better with just living with it. And they can't cure it either. They can just put it into remission, right? Because it's a blood one. So like it just goes into remission and then comes back anyways again.
Fuck.
Right. So then it's not like but it sounds worse than it is because. Like with a bone marrow transplant, you could cure it, but you wouldn't want to go through that much trouble because the disease itself isn't that bad.
Sure.
You know, that's like for the most part, like it sucks at times and other times you don't even know you got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that's just what it is. It's just like a herpes of cancer.
Yeah.
That's
it's always, it's going to be with you for a while.
Yeah. Forever. It's just going to be, hopefully it'll be with me forever because then I never had to get treatment and So I started eating differently.
Yeah.
And it's controlled. And every once in a while, my tumors, or my lymph nodes get real big and then they got tumors on them, but then they go back low. Then they go away on their own.
That's so crazy. I had a buddy that had lupus and like.
Lupus is a blood disease too, right?
And it's autoimmune. So like it like flares up and like he would just take on like water weight.
Right.
And then it would just go away. It would just have to like work itself through.
Yeah, it's weird.
He'd be off work for like a couple of weeks. And it's like, oh, my lupus is flaring up. Be like, holy shit, your lupus is flaring up.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, he'd come back and he's like, yeah, check it out. I got stretch marks on my arms. It's like, yeah, man, my body just balloons up.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Like, can you do anything? He's like, not really. I mean, I just have it. I can manage it, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Christ.
Yeah, it's crazy, eh? Yeah. A lot of stuff is just about managing it. Same with like even like a lot of the like mental and stuff. You just gotta like learn to.
Yeah, you ride that wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Accept it as part of your life. Know what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, name it, treat it as a mechanism or whatever, and then, like, just don't get too worked up when it happens. Now I have panic attacks. I just, like, know what it is. Just kind of like,
all right, here I am.
I got to do this for a bit, and then it'll be over.
Fuck.
It's like when you get too greened out on weed.
Yeah.
You know, like, when you're first a new weed smoker,
you
smoke weed and then you get that greened out phase and you think you're going to die. And then once you're like been smoking every day for like ever, and then one time you smoke too much, then you're like, ah, fuck.
I used to green out all the time in like high school. I was just like trying to keep up.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. So for a while I didn't green out. And the last time I greened out was the night that Allison went into labor. Like, dude, I have a joke about it.
Is how early was she?
She's a week early.
Only a week early?
Only a week. So, I like, to me, the joke, but it's like, it's a true story, was like, oh, I got a week left. I ain't a party, whatever. Yeah. And, dude, it was like, I don't know how to, like, get it into the joke, but, so I got greened out, and, like, Al was at the movies with her sister, so I texted her, and I was like, hey, I'm greening out, like, pretty hard. Just wake me up when you get home. just like whatever. I'm going to be like in the fetal position.
Yeah.
No problem. The Uber driver was my boss from my high school job. Like when he picked me up on the way home, and I was like, why do I know this guy? And I was like, oh shit, this guy used to be my manager back in like the day. And he kept trying to talk to me. And I was like, I literally had like my head against the window like this. And I was like, hey man, I'm going to be honest. Like I need you to shut the fuck up. I can't listen to you right now. I don't want to vomit in your car.
Yeah.
Stop talking. Just like, let me like head on the window. And yeah, like, so I fully greened out. She came home. She woke me up and was like, hey, by the way, pretty sure I'm in labor. And I was like, immediately out of it. Like,
really?
Immediately snapped me out of it.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God.
Okay. Adrenaline.
Just like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is, man. It was crazy.
It was nuts. My favorite was one time I greened out my cousin.
Yeah.
And we went to this little bar in Turkey Point. And I remember the guy who was running the door looked just like Kid Rock, eh?
Maybe it was.
Have you seen that guy before? Anyways,
he lives in Simcoe.
He looks just like Kid Rock. Anyways, he used to work run the door at this bar, and my cousin goes in all like greened out, and I sit him at a stool, and he's like can't even look up. He's just like kind of like paralyzed.
Yeah.
And then he just says, "I'm like, how you doing?" And he goes, "Pete, I just have one question for you." He goes, "Is that fucking Kid Rock?" Right? Like he's like, "Is that really Kid Rock?" And
I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah,
and he's like, "Don't fuck with me, man." Like you could tell he couldn't even move. And then I remember he's like, "Just get me out of here," you know. And I'm like, he's not even opening his eyes. His eyes are like closed. That's and I bring him back to my trailer, and he's sitting in my like sun porch area.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you just see him like. His eyes open and he goes, "I'm back, baby." Like he's like, just, yeah, he just gets out of it.
That's so good. Snapping right back in. You're like, oh, here I am. I'm good.
Yeah. Which was kind of funny because I was really riding him because he was helpless, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's so funny. You can say anything you want. You can't do nothing. But
oh,
then
so
as soon as he comes out of it, you're like, oh shit, I got to pay for all my things I just said.
Every single thing.
Yeah. Fun times, Mike.
All right.
So I want to talk to you a little bit about your show.
Sure.
And this is a thing because it's a really impressive accomplishment.
Thank you.
It really is. So you had to not only come up with a concept for a show, but then also, like pitch it.
Yeah.
Get funding for it. Right. And then get it made.
Yeah.
And then be in it as well.
Yeah. Yeah. All of it. Figure out how to like. Get it made and like hire everybody and
so like all that stuff was pretty new to you, wasn't it?
Brand
a lot
new.
Of it.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I lied through my teeth. Like when I pitched, there's like a submission thing. There's a Facebook group called Lights Camera Hamilton, and I saw this like executive of Bell posted in it, and I was like, "Hey, we're taking pitches for an upcoming like run of shows."
Yeah.
So I emailed them from my work email at the time because I was working at Sunrise Records. I was like, "Hey, man, I have a fully formed." Music-centric show about Hamilton. Can we chat about it? And he's like, yeah, give me a call tomorrow. And I was like, yeah. So it's like I was just like making it up. I was like, and it's going to be this, and then there's going to be musical performance, but also comedy, and you know, it's going to center on like the art scene and blah. And like I kind of knew like vaguely what I wanted it to be.
Yeah.
But talking to him, I was like, oh no, I've had this idea for a while. And he's like, yeah, cool. All right, we'll see how this goes. And it literally, like, as soon as I got off the phone the first time, I was like, shit, I think I'm going to make a TV show. Like, I think, you know, you can tell. It's like, I think this guy's into it. Yeah. So, like, we started doing that and had to hire a bunch of people that are way better at doing that stuff than I am.
Yeah.
But, yeah, learned a ton.
Now it was nice. Shows. It was good to watch. Like, I watched the whole season one.
Yeah.
And it was nice to watch you guys get your footing, really. Like, like certain things worked right off the hop, and then certain things you could tell as time built. Like, and it's that way with most shows, you know.
You have to set up so much character
at the beginning and so much of the show that it's almost like laundry list of to-dos, you know. So first episodes are never the best of anything.
Yeah.
Most people say like two or three to get into it because there's always that setup time, you know.
The feedback that we always get from everyone is like when it ended, they're like, "Fuck, I got really
just
into
got
this.
Into
I
it."
Just got in. I'm like, "Yeah, I want to see more."
Yeah.
And it's done. It's like, yeah, because there's 5 15-minute episodes. Like it's
it's
an hour of TV.
Yeah, it is. But it is like you said. Is that all it was?
That's all it was. Yeah, 5 15 minutes.
Oh wow, That's cool.
It's supposed to be 5-12 minutes, but we like it averaged about like 14-15.
You know what I think about Chris Adirantian? That's how you say it. In that show, I think it was episode 3, and it was the one that was in The Winking Judge.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looked like he was like one of those hobos with like the scruff.
Yeah.
Like you took a cork and burnt it.
Can I tell you? I could have fucking killed him because he had a beard. We shot the exterior at the start of episode 2. There's an exterior shot where he's outside smoking with Doug and Jen Reeves.
Yeah, yeah.
And his full beard. And then the way that the scheduling worked out, we couldn't shoot for like 3 weeks, like the next parts. And he shows up and he's like, "Mikey, I forgot that I had a beard." So like he was like completely clean shaven. I was like, "Fuck, man, come on." So yeah, like we like were like, "All right, we won't show a lot of you because you look like a chimney sweep." Like we like painted it on. Like,
is that what it was,
dude? It's all makeup. Like it's all of it. Yeah.
Oh, that makes perfect sense because I was looking at him like, "What the fuck is that guy?" Like And then it was just weird, like, and that makes perfect sense now. I meant to ask him when he was in here, but then I forgot. So now that I know. Yeah, that makes sense too, that it was something he did that was stupid. Oh, that's cool.
Something he did that was stupid. I was like, it's fine, man, but like, fuck, Chris, come on.
Yeah, that's funny.
But it worked out, and he's in, like, we have him in season 2 as well, but same kind of thing. Like, we shot some stuff for season 2 already. And he has long hair, and he just chopped it all off. And we're shooting again in, like, I don't know, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So wear a hat, I guess, Chris. Like,
yeah.
It's Canadian TV, baby. We don't like we have no money, so it's not like we can just have like shooting blocks at a time. It's whatever. Yeah.
Whenever you can get it done.
Yeah, because everyone's got day jobs, and we're like CFL players.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you might pay to see us at some. But, like, we got to go to work.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those things, eh? You think that, does the Bell own it then?
So it's cool. It's really cool. They have exclusivity on it for 30 days once it airs. So they have the license for 5 years. If they want it up on their platforms for 5 years, they can have it, but we can distribute it anywhere after 30 days, after it's been on their platform for 30 days. So, like, we could sell it, we could distribute it, like, wherever. But we started talking about doing that and, like, looking elsewhere. But at the same time, we were talking about season 2 with Bell. And they're like, if I were you, I probably wouldn't, just so you guys can drive the price up more to get more licensing money from us for, like, the next season. Because if you give it away for free, it's like, yeah, but what's the urgency in making sure that we have it if it's away for free? I was like, oh, okay, I think I get that.
Yeah.
For the extra, we didn't get much extra. We got some extra money, but like we have another still, episode too. That's so the thing. Like, yeah.
Just when you say that, I have no knowledge. Like, I'm an idiot. So like I don't know anything. I'm just going to tell you that right off the hop.
Sure.
But like when you say that, I get scared right away because I'm like, are these guys fucking with you? Because, like, I don't know if that makes sense or if that is something they say that makes enough sense that I...
That was my thing, too. I'm like, are they serious right now? I was like, yeah, maybe. And we asked for, like, way more money
for
the second season. Like, we can't do that. We can give you a little bit. It's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like, but they, you're probably, I don't know. That's the thing. I am so ignorant. I would just be taken advantage of. I shouldn't say this on publicly.
Yeah, so, honestly, I was having this conversation today.
Yeah.
With Ashley Sloggett, who's like one of the producers on it, where it's like, it almost doesn't matter how much we got for the first 2 seasons because we got somebody else to pay for us to make believe.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's like, okay. Cool, thank you. And now, like, we've got a card, and, like, we've got, like,
yeah.
All right, hey, now we know how to do this. Check this out. We know how to write. We can produce, like, all of this stuff.
Yeah, because in the next, if you're going for the next project, this is your...
Like, hey, we did
even
this.
Even if you're looking at, like, doing this on a larger streaming platform, for, like, a half-hour episodes or something like that, you know, then you know that you can use this as your... As like what the Letterkenny did that too with their shorts, right?
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
And to get them to where they could get a real finance show. So.
And now they're everywhere. There's like
Funko they got
Pops
spinoff
of them, and Shoresy.
Shoresy, yeah. Can't wait. Actually,
it's gonna be good. It's gonna be really good. But like I remember those videos, like the Letterkenny problems shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, fuck, these are funny, man.
Yeah, it was great. And then for me especially, like they speak Norfolk language, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like wherever they represent the 519 like the Dutch Hall does.
That's so funny. They're calling their dick their bird or their horn or like.
Yeah, it's so much here. Like it's remarkable how similar it is. And then it really does capture. It's like I think I didn't get it for Corner Gas.
Yeah.
But I worked for Farm Credit Canada, which was headquartered in Regina, Saskatchewan.
Did you ever get to go out to Regina?
Oh, no. It was mandatory that everyone go to Regina, Saskatchewan. I worked there for 15 years.
Regina?
No, I worked for this company for
two-time.
Two-time President's Club Award winner. Yeah,
that's right.
And then I never went. And I had bosses tell me, what do you mean you never went? You have to go. I'm going to make sure you go. And I go, everyone says it. No one does it. Like, fuck you guys. I'm not going to Regina.
Yeah.
And I managed to go the whole time without going.
That's an accomplishment.
Yeah. It was really my goal after a while. I was like, I'm just going to avoid it. Yeah. But no, I've never been. But the Regina people would come to Ontario and train me all the time. And they were always like, did you see the new Corner Gas? And
that's their thing.
They're speaking their language. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's like, I never got into Corner Gas, but I had a friend who loves it. And he was saying, he's like, do you like King of the Hill? I was like, I love King of the Hill. He's like, it's King of the Hill. It's just like Canadian. Like it's so mundane and just so small town, just plain, like nothing is going on in these people's lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Except the small things. The small things are everything. I was okay. I think I get it. I still never watched it, like whatever, but.
I watched it. I didn't watch it like religiously or anything, but I've seen episodes of it and it was fine. I saw it for the jokes and it was good. They had well-developed characters and everything, but it was more like probably skewing a little bit older than me even, I would say.
Yeah, for sure.
Or at least duller. Definitely duller than me.
Yeah.
Like, because all these people that were so into it, they were like the most normal, like,
that's it,
grotesquely normal people.
It's like a CBC comedy.
Yes, that's what it is, yeah.
Right, where you're like, yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure, I get it.
Yeah. I like Letterkenny better because it's like, probably because it's adult in nature, and it's real. Like, that's how people talk. Like that McMurray guy on that show on Letterkenny. Have you watched it?
Honestly, I've watched like two seasons. I'm a bad.
There's a character named McMurray. And he's kind of like a mumbler and stuff like that.
Is it Jeff McHenry?
No.
Jeff McHenry's character?
No. No, I don't think so. I think Jeff McHenry's character is like very minor. He's like
like he's barely in it.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, he's like I can't remember the name. He's like a kind of like a special needs guy.
Oh, that's
is that right?
What he plays?
I'm not sure, but I think that's what he plays.
But anyway, yeah, go on. So
this guy, like, I think he's a real guy. Like, I think I know him. That's how much of a stereotype he is of real people that live around here. You know, like, it's really, they really nailed it as far as like catching archetypes of people.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of key, with good character development, is that your characters have like something that is like you can see in other people that you know, like,
because
you get those universal truths that come through the character.
These people really exist, and if you don't know this guy, you know someone that's kind of like this, but also kind of like the other one, and it all comes together. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. How did you hook up with Tim Ford?
So Tim and I worked at Sunrise Records together. We shared an office, so he was a VP, and I was the head of marketing. And like,
and he's like that anyway.
That's just him. Yeah. It's like literally like, so I put him in it. We like did a bunch of like web shorts for Sunrise Records called The Vinyl Countdown. Cause like in This Is a Thing, he starts a YouTube show called The Vinyl Countdown. And it's like literally just him just like talking about records, but just talking smack. And Tim knows more about music than anybody I've ever met. He got in trouble one day from Rod Stewart's management, cause he was the VP of purchasing.
Yeah.
So like he was in touch with like a lot of like record label like bigwigs and all the time, and he had this one where he's calling Rod Stewart a drunk piece of shit, and his management is like, "What are you doing? Like you can't be doing that, man." And he's like, "It's a character. It's a joke." Yeah. And he's like, yeah, but he kind of is a drunk piece of shit, though. He's a fucking soccer hooligan. I'm like, okay, yeah, fair, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's like, it's just, that's Tim. It's just Tim. So when I told him I was, like, making this show, I'm like, I'm putting you in it. Like, you need to be in this. And it, like, at, like, the first or second episode that we did of the Vinyl Countdown for Sunrise, I was like, oh, this guy's gold. Like, he's so funny. And he's like, he's never acted in anything before. That's his first time in anything. And I was just like, just be you talking to me in the office times 100.
Yeah.
Just turn it up. Like, do not worry. That's what he did.
Yeah,
that's
it. No, he's a great character on the show. Like, he really does, like, steal most scenes that he's
crushes
in.
It.
Yeah.
Crushes it.
Yeah. You're drawn to him, for sure.
Yeah.
There was one girl in it, too, in the one scene where their babies were racing.
Yeah.
And I was like, next time, when I see Mike, I'm going to ask who that girl was. Because she was super hot. Brunette.
Hot brunette.
Yeah, in the baby racing scene. She was just in the background clapping.
It's probably like, my sister-in-law.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, she is a nice-looking woman. I was just going to say, I was going to ask about her sister-in-law.
I think it's, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's your brother's wife?
Or your wife's Allison's sister.
Sister.
Oh. And then, so Allison's sister and then her husband are like cheering stuff on.
Oh, yeah?
And their son was in it, and he didn't make the final cut because he was a little bit too slow for running.
Is that caused some troubles in the family?
No. It was like, they just said, like, Madden didn't make it in. It's fine. Yeah. He's a little bit too slow.
Yeah, he's cut. He's got to set it up.
Yeah. Now he'd be fine.
Yeah.
He was a little young at the, like, when we shot it, but like my daughter's like front and center in it.
It was fun.
And the chonies, yeah. And child ponies. I was so stoned when
you figured out a way to work in Sheeler's like Sleetheon's husband bit or whatever.
Dude, that was like one of the, like, I had to fight for that one because everyone's like, no one's gonna get it. I don't care. I think it's so funny. It needs to be in, and like the people that are gonna get it are gonna be like, oh, that's really good. That's
well,
funny.
You set it up in the like the land in the like the hall of obscure.
Just like whatever, just anything. Yeah, like you're looking for the show.
Yeah, like I think I've seen other shows like that before. You know, like how they keep opening doors.
Like door
and,
number one.
Yeah, and every time they open a door, it's another like, you know, horror or something. Yeah. Like it's always it's a good mechanism. I've seen it use it
to just like throw something in. It's like
I
get from here to here. And what are we going to put in the middle?
Yeah, put a little something ridiculous in the middle. Yeah. Perfect. That's where Sheila comes in.
That's where Sheila comes in.
Yeah. I loved it because I always liked that bit because Sheeler digs in and makes me laugh harder than most people. Yeah.
I listened to him on Nick Dury's podcast maybe this week, possibly last week, whenever it was. And he's just like, he's a really, Sheeler's like such a funny dude. But I think Nick said something to him like, he's one of those guys that you love to watch him crush, but you love to watch him bomb.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Like, you know that they're not getting it. That they're, like, the crowd's just like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's so good to me. I love it. But, like, you can tell, like, when Sheeler's on and, like, he's on. But that's the thing.
When you
he's
see
on,
him.
But he's always on. Like, he's always, like.
Oh, the performance is good no matter
always,
what. Yeah. It's just whether, like, I've seen him in a tough room, you know, with, like, rough people. And he's. Not like he's not physically, if you look at him, he's not a rough and tumble guy, you know?
No.
But his act has got bravado to an astute crowd, it would be obvious that this is false bravado for the sake of humor, you know? But if you're like an alpha dumbass, you know?
Yeah. They're like, yeah, man, I get it.
Or, like, who do you fucking think you are? I'd kick your ass. I'm better at ringette than you.
Dude, it's so, like, so two things. Kevin and I went to a show in Brampton one time at All Stars. I don't know if you've ever done All Stars.
I can't remember.
It's
probably not.
It's a show.
I probably
remember
it.
It's just a room.
Yeah.
But it was, like, there's a bunch of people, like, loudly playing pool on the other side of the room. It was just, like, a rough one. And we were supposed to go 1-2 so we can get out of there. I was supposed to go bullet. Kev's going to go second. And right before I was going to go on, Kev goes, I don't think I'm going to do this. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, this is not going to work for me. Thanks for driving me. Like, he set the show up. He's like, thanks for driving me. It's all good, man. I'll still pay you for gas. But, like, this is not going to go well for me.
He didn't even attempt it.
No. And I was like, Kev.
Unprecedented.
Yeah. And I was like, Kev, really? He's like, no, like. The new stuff I want to work on, they're not going to get, and they're like, just how angrily they're playing pool. He's like, I don't want any. No. And then we were in Barrie one time, and he said to me, like, one of the other comics was like a newer comic at the time. I wish I could, it doesn't matter what the guy's name was, but he was like a newer Barrie comic when we were up there. And it was like Kev's act, unironically. So like he was like, he meant it with all the stuff that he was saying, but like the crowd was loving it. Like love, and Kev's like
Jeselnik kinda?
No, like it was just like a lot of like fucking bitches, and everyone's like, yeah, right, fuck those bitches. And Kev's like, nah, like they're not gonna know that I'm kidding. And they're gonna be like, she's like, I'm gonna get laughs
for the wrong reasons.
For the wrong reasons. And I had a joke that I changed it since. I still think I can do it, but I did it up in like Aurelio one time, and it destroyed. And it's like a little bit racial, but making fun of the fact that it was racial.
Yeah, yeah.
But everyone in Aurelio was like, "Oh, fucking right, yeah." And I was like, No.
I just did that in St. Thomas.
I can't do that. I can't do that anymore because you guys just ruined this for me.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't. I do a joke, a black joke. It's about black privilege, and I only do it.
Yeah.
Normally, I only do it when there's like a table full of black people.
Sure.
So that I know that if there's tight ass white people in the crowd, yeah, that I can point to them.
Yeah.
And say they were cool with it, and if they weren't cool with it, then I could be like, ah, shit, I fucked that up.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But at least I could know from the people, you know, if they're not, if they're okay with it, then you should shut up, you know? And I didn't say Thomas, there's no black people.
No, of course not.
And I got a laugh, a couple laughs at different points in it. Yeah. Some of them I don't usually get laughs at.
You're like, oh.
And then I start thinking like, oh, shit, like this might be wrong. Like this like they might not have got it in the way I wanted to tell it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And I don't mean it to be racist in the least. It's not actually meant to be racist. It's supposed to be ridiculous, like that my perspective, it's honest that was my perspective, but it's because I didn't know any different. Like, sure. It's just,
but that's the thing where it's like, if they're really listening, they'd get it, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like I did this at Levity a couple weeks ago as part of my greening out bit, because it like goes into something else. And it's like how, like, me and my friend, like, we didn't speak for, like, a couple hours. We were just, like, out of it. And then he finally goes, like, hey, man, are we thinking the same thing right now? I was like, yeah, I think we are. There probably is a Harriet Tubman porno. You want to look it up? Do you think it's called The Underground Nail Road? And, like, Pat thought it was the funniest joke. The table of black people thought it was hilarious. Nobody else got it. And, like, between acts, Pat kept bringing it up. He's like, do you guys know who Harriet Tubman is? That's a funny joke.
Yeah.
I was like, Pat, like, they didn't get it.
Yeah.
Still, like, don't hammer it in.
I think you should hammer it in at that point in time.
But the thing, so.
Because shame on them for being so fucking tight.
But also, like, Pat's like, I don't think they know who Harriet Tubman is.
No, that might be.
I was like, oh, that could be it. He's like, because that, he goes, that's a good play on words. It's a good joke. But you have to know who Harriet Tubman is to get.
Yeah, and you ask a lot of kids who Harriet Tubman is, they go like, oh, she's before my time. How am I supposed to know? I was born in...
They just punt it. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, like I wasn't... Yeah. They only seem to have to know people from the time they were born on. Yeah. Otherwise, the world didn't exist, you know?
I tried it one time where like I got some groans. Sometimes I get some groans on that when I say Underground Nail Road. And I've gone like, oh, did you guys find that offensive? Sorry. You're right. Tub person. They're like, not any better. It's like, yeah, okay, all right. Well,
I know my daughter, when you go like, not any better like that, that's what my daughter does, my youngest daughter does to me all the time when I pass jokes by her.
Oh,
like, she'll be like, and then I'll like double down or I'll like try it a different way. And she'll be like, even worse. Like she just is like, everything I say is, she's horrified that I'm even, that I think this way.
Yeah.
But it's awesome because I did... To be honest, I did my retarded joke to her.
Yeah.
And she hated it. She goes, she told me I should ask someone from that community if it's okay. I'm like, you mean I should tell the joke to a person? The person's not going to get it. Like, they're not going to get it.
Yeah,
but cool. Like, so like, they're not. And then she told me, well, then she's saying, well, autistic people will be offended by it. I go, but they're not retarded. Like,
yeah.
But they get called that. I'm like, well, then but I got called the, like, I could call that too. Yeah, you know, yeah. Like, I mean, like,
I know exactly what you mean.
You know, like, then, like, if everyone gets called things, you know, like, I don't know. If you listen to the context of it, that I say it now.
Yeah.
I got it, like, styrofoam packed. You know, like, it's got so much fucking fluff around it of, I love everybody and blah, 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 you know, so that they can know, like, listen, this is a fucking, I'm not making fun of anyone here. I'm just talking about words. And then let's let the joke happen. Cause the punchline's pretty good. I like the punchline and it's 50% so far. Once it did well.
Yeah.
And once it ate shit hard. Like, real bad.
Those are the ones you learn from when they eat shit, but...
I know, but the punchline's the same. I just think it's a good punchline, but I might have said it wrong. I don't know what I did.
That's so good.
But, you know, sometimes I got these two punchlines I've been working on, and one of them, I don't even think you need to say the joke. Just say the punchline. Like, yeah. I can just say the punchline. Like, I told the guys when they were around here, I just go, can I just tell you a punchline of a joke? And I just say the punchline, and then... They all started laughing. And I'm like, I didn't tell you the setup.
Perfect.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you it, too.
Okay, let's hear it.
You think I was throwing two handfuls of glitter and shooting cocks out of my ass. Right? It's fun.
I've heard you do this joke.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, that's good.
It's a fun joke. Yeah. I love saying that punchline. I love it. Shooting cocks out of my ass. I just like saying it.
Shooting it out instead of getting them in.
Yeah, shooting them out. Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
Like fireworks.
That's so good.
I know. My therapist is gay too, and I tell, not gay too, because I'm not gay.
Gay.
But I do just come out on the show.
You might have.
But my therapist is gay, and I tell him my gay jokes.
Yeah.
At the end of my session. Well, every time I write one, I'll say it. Like, and then, so he gave me the okay on my, on all my gay jokes.
That's good. You should talk to Pat Tiffin about anything.
Yeah. Technically, I can't. Well, I disagree. He's not retarded.
No, he's autistic. And he's like, every joke you post on Facebook, it's like hashtag autistic comedian or hashtag like whatever. But I'm saying, like, you should run it by him because the dude is like an encyclopedia of jokes. Like, he knows every joke.
Yeah, I know.
I did Poachers one time, and I had like a throwaway line of like, keeping my daughter off the pole. And he got off and he just came up to me and goes, that's Chris Rock. I was like, what?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? He goes, Chris Rock. You just did a Chris Rock joke? I was like, I don't think so, man. No. And I like, and he recited it back to me. I was like, oh, I've literally never done that. I just,
for
whatever reason, I threw it in. He's like, you should probably stop. It's Chris Rock. I was like,
yeah.
I literally just, yeah, thank you. Thank you for catching that. I'll never do it again.
Yeah, it is. That is helpful to have when you have a person.
He knows that, dude, he knows every joke.
Yeah. Sometimes he thinks he knows things that I don't know if he knows. So that's the thing. I'll tell you something about Pat. He's so goddamn sure.
He is very sure.
That the way he's thinking is the way.
Yeah.
That it's difficult to change his mind. I'll tell you that. He thinks that you can only be booked with people, with other comics that are like you. You know, that's my problem. It's like, I don't think I should be on a bill with other comics that are like me. I think I should be on a bill with comics that are different than me.
Different.
And then you get different perspectives. You know?
I do know, like, he's a good dude, and he's like, it's coming from a good place. And I know that like Tyler and I were talking about this the other day. It's like, I tried to get you guys in, you and Dougie in, for Yuck's pro shows on the weekend. And Pat's like, too far. I'm not going to book them.
Yeah.
Too far outside of London. It's like, all right.
Yeah, he does that with me. I would get booked there.
You're so, yeah.
I have got booked there on weekend shows. Like early on in my comedy career, I would, the lady who booked it there would say, come just do drop-in guest spots even when you're not booked. Just come do them, like, if you're around.
I know. I get the same invitation. I'm like, I'm not going to drive an hour and a half to do a drop-in, but...
And then now I'm out of town or not considered.
That's it.
I'm like, when I didn't move.
I'm in the same spot.
Same house the whole time I've done comedy. I never
have to move closer. You should get a P.O. box in London.
I don't care. That club is not that good anyway. It's all a bunch of sad people that get comp tickets from gambling too much.
Yeah.
And you see a bunch of sad people sitting there and like mind off in the distance of what they're going to tell their wife when they get home. trying to make them
what
laugh.
What am I going
to
tell her? Fuck, I lost it all.
Yeah. I had a couple. Like, I like the weekend shows there, to be honest. Yeah. It was good. I don't know who's actually booking it now. I know Pat is booking it, but he was supposed to be booking it the last time, too. And then the lady said to another comic, like, hey, if you want to, if send the tape to me directly, don't give it to Pat.
Interesting.
So Pat's kind of like, I think he's
the middleman. He puts himself in.
Yeah, he's making.
I would.
His role.
I would.
Yeah.
100% I would. If I was in that position, I'd be like, yeah, cool, I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he knows more about comedy than the people that they have in that job.
100%.
Because that is true. Because the people are just like there running like the kitchen or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't really care about comedy. But
no, he's a funny dude. Pat.
I saw him last night too. I do like his open mic sets now.
Yeah, I haven't seen Pat in person in, oh my God, at least 3 years.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, easily.
Oh, you're lucky kind of. I tell you, man, there's nothing more horrifying. I like him too.
Yeah.
I like him too, but let me tell you, there's nothing more horrifying than sitting across the table from him and watching him eat chicken wings. It is the most disgusting thing that you've ever going to see in your life.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I'd rather watch a baby being eaten by a pack of wolves than watch Pat Tiffin eat chicken wings. Licking his fingers?
I've never seen it.
Oh, my God.
You know what? There's like a lot of...
It's all over his face, the sauce.
I can picture it.
Oh, man.
I was just thinking, though, of all the times that I've done shows and been paid in food... I couldn't tell you what a single comic looks like eating. I don't think I've ever seen a comic eat.
Oh, that's actually scarring for me. The especially he's always eating chicken wings when I get there.
Yeah,
and it's just
Manolis
gross.
Maybe. I think I've maybe seen Manolis eat wings.
Oh,
I don't know.
You're good. It's a good move not to look at them. Because I'm honestly haunted by it, by a lot of different people. I don't like the way they eat. Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah, eating's a gross one. Yeah, do you have that thing where like you don't like the sound of people chewing?
Ugh.
Misophonia, I think it's called.
I do have that, yeah. I hate it. My mother-in-law does it, to be honest with you.
Just like that. I'm not going to do it. Like the lip smacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she'll start to get into like a rhythm if she's like talking and stuff and eating. And then it gets real chompy like that. And it's something about it. I can start to hear the saliva parting from the lips and stuff. You know, it's like, gross. It's really gross.
And you notice it. That's it. And you'll never not notice it.
That's the problem. If you can kind of like overlook it and then you won't notice it at all. My daughter told me. They go, I turn on an old TV because I hooked up my Atari 2600 to it.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm on there playing. And they say, can you hear that? And I go, what? That high-pitched squeal. And I say, no, I can't hear nothing. And they go, that's because you're too old. You can't hear that frequency.
Hear, like, the frequency.
And they go, it's really loud to us. And I'm like, really?
It's crazy.
And also because they don't make TVs like that.
Yeah.
Like, they're not accustomed to the noise. And maybe we are.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. Like, because, like, apparently, if you were to be dropped right now in, like, the mid 1800s.
Yeah.
You would go crazy from the silence.
Oh, I believe it.
Because you don't have the airplanes, you don't have the cars, the cell phone towers, the radio frequencies, all the things that are buzzing out there that we just don't even hear anymore. And then if you went and heard the actual silence,
dude, I'm going deaf. Like I'm absolutely going deaf. It's not even a question.
Really? From all the shows you went to?
I played in a band growing up. I played drums. I wore earplugs, but like the first few years I didn't.
You were a drummer?
Yeah.
Oh. What, punk band?
Punk band.
Yeah. What were you called?
Distance Between Stars. We were like an emo band, not like a punk band.
Oh yeah.
But punk emo kind of that kind of thing.
Like Simple Plan-y?
We had a female singer, like Paramore.
Oh.
We're like a Paramore kind of band.
Oh, there you go.
But left ear is like, it's bad.
Female singer, eh?
Yeah.
Is she still doing it?
I don't know. I think she lives in LA now.
Really?
Yeah, but I don't know if she's singing. I think she like works for either a label or like music supervision, like putting songs into shows. I don't know.
Did you used to book artists too, or you were in the
music?
Yeah,
I used to run shows. I worked at a record label. I've been like always like kind of around just whatever.
And then when did you get into comedy?
So March 1st will be my 6th year of doing comedy, but does it really, I don't know if the last 2 years.
Yeah, fuck, what are you?
You know what I mean?
Fuck, I don't know. Just count it, man.
Yeah, I know, I'm going to count it for sure.
But it might take us 12 years to get there.
To get to 10.
It's like
you're born on a leap year. It's like you're 16, but like you're really 64.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. I got into stand-up because I had this radio show and this dude in Hamilton, this guy Ben Rispin, was putting together. He wanted to talk about doing like a web series with me and my co-host. So like we went in for a meeting. And like the meeting ended and he had like a meeting after that. He's like, oh, Mike, like stick around, man. Like you're a funny guy. I'm writing this pilot with the guys from Monster Truck about beer league hockey. And Pat Coppolino was on the writing team. So that's how I met Pat was through like this like writer's room for beer league. We ended up making a pilot for it. Didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But I remember talking to Pat the one day. I was like, dude, you do stand up. Like, that's so sick. Like, how'd you get into it? Just ask him a million questions. I was like, I always wanted to do this. I just like, how do you do it? He's like, oh, just come to a show. I'm actually doing Emerson Pub tonight. Come on out. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, I'll go check it out. So I went to Emerson. It was packed. It was like, did you ever go to Emerson when like people would like sit on the stage? It was so busy.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mace was hosting,
yeah.
And so he introduced me to Mace at the end. He's like, hey, Mace, like, this is my buddy Mike. We're working on this TV show together. He wants to do stand-up. Can you give him a spot? And Mace was like, yeah, I'm getting on next week. I was like, oh, shit. All right.
And you had a week to figure it out.
I had a week to figure out like all the stuff that I've been writing down for like the last little while. I'm like, well, I got to put something together. I actually just found my first set on video because I turned on a computer that I hadn't turned on in like 3 years last week. And I was like, oh, shit, there's all these things. Yeah.
How did it hold up?
There's some nuggets there that I'm like, I could probably rework this.
Yeah, yeah.
The joke about me being mistaken for a lesbian that I've done forever. I did that in my first set. It was like this whole long thing though about, it wasn't about that. It was more about Stag and Doe's, how it's like, it's how your cheap friends get you to pay for their wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I was like, okay, like there's like some stuff here. Michael Moses was actually guest hosting that one. Like that's like young Moses bringing me up. It's like, it's weird. Yeah. It's a little time capsule. And Manolis taped it for me too. Like my girlfriend at the time taped it. I was like, I might not ever do this again. Like, can you tape this? But Manolis was like, oh, it's your first set? Yeah, I'll tape it, man.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's kind of funny, eh? Like how long ago that is now.
Like, it feels like I just started and it was 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But that is like, it seems like yesterday, but it is a long time now when you think of it. Like, we've fucking been doing this for a bit. It's just the grind of it, eh?
Like the grind is tough.
Yeah.
The grind is a tough one.
People don't get it, eh? Like, the amount of shit you go through for fucking 5 minutes or 7 minutes or something, you know?
Yeah.
Lisa,
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, like, I got to drive an hour everywhere.
Yeah, I was thinking that when I was coming in here. I'm like, fuck, you drive to Hamilton to do levity? Like,
no, that's what it's worth it, though. That's when people say, like, do you tape your sets? Like, I do now.
Yeah.
But for a long time, I didn't. I'm like, I have an hour drive home to relive it in my head over and over again. Yeah. Like, I go through every minutia of the set.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But reality is the tape works better because I can't see my face in my memory.
True. And like, your mannerisms and, like,
And you're always thinking about the joke that you wanted to do and how it didn't go or did go. But it's the joke that you didn't mean to tell that you just threw away, like a
and it gets something.
And then you're like, those little things, maybe you're just throwing it away to get from here to there.
Yeah.
But it gets a big laugh. And then if you can pick up on those instead of forget them, then you can build.
That's exactly it. And like by the end of the show, too, if you didn't tape it, you get to talking to people, just like talking shit, talking bullshit, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's gone. you'll forget about it. Like, especially if the set was good, you'll just remember, oh, I had a good set.
Yeah.
I don't know what I said.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the real good ones, yeah, especially because you're just kind of in it. Yeah, that was great. I went up, I told this to Dan Brennan, but I went up and I didn't feel good.
Yeah.
Like I was having bad stuff to go, personal stuff to go through. And, but I agreed to do the set. That was the one at Levity.
It's last week.
The last one. Yeah. I felt you were on right after me, and the, I felt shitty. And usually when I go to stage, I know kind of where I'm going to start, where I'm going to finish, and kind of stuff I want to work on in the middle. But I'll give myself some leeway to kind of like change it up depending on what the audience is digging or whatever. But this time I had no beginning, no end. I didn't know what I wanted to work on. I didn't have anything. And I went up on stage and I kept thinking during the night, like, I'll get that plan together before I go up.
Sure.
But then as they're calling my name, I hadn't done it yet. And so I was just like, well, got no choice. I got to be present. And so that I was present. And then it was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because I did some things that I didn't do on purpose, but you thought about it after when you were watching it back or whatever. And you're like, man, that was good what I did. And then you could see the fact that I was felt so bad. The craft had to show through, like that I had actually developed enough craft that I could get myself through it.
And you can get out of stuff. You're like, I know, okay, whatever.
Yeah, like I don't feel funny, but I know I got good enough jokes to be able to. The joke will get me through, so just lean on the jokes. Yeah. Or I know I can like talk to the crowd and do a couple little tricky things that you kind of pick up on over.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you can say, okay, I don't feel funny right now, but I can do funny things or whatever, you know, and deliver it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I felt like more of a professional. Those are the days you feel like a professional, when you feel like crap and you still have to still do it.
Just on autopilot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, then you see that you actually developed a skill, like a marketable skill.
It's like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah. The times where you feel great and it's fun, then it doesn't matter.
You're going to have to apologize to your Patreon.
Oh, yeah, Jen. I'm sorry. That's back in the shop. All right. Well, we should then just try to end this. Let me just see what time we got.
what time are we looking at here?
Oh, fuck.
10:30, eh?
Oh, shit. This went really long, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know if we'll be able to get to our last bit or not.
All right.
But what I was going to say, we'll just do it.
Okay.
This will be to end the show.
Okay.
You have this is the challenge. It's a hypothetical only challenge. I understand I am not from Hamilton, and you're showcasing Hamilton talents.
Yeah.
But let's pretend you take old Peachykins here.
Yeah.
You pop them in Hamilton. I'm a Hamilton comic now. And you are looking for a way to work me into This Is a Thing.
Yeah.
As a character on the show. From what you know about Pete Van Dyke.
Yeah.
What character do you think I would be best suited for in the This Is a Thing universe?
I'm gonna blow a character right now for season 2 that we've been like working on. I would put you as a guy with cancer.
Oh.
That's like coming to the show or just like something. Like you're like, I don't like, this is the thing. Fuck, I catch myself saying This Is a Thing all the time, which is why I named the show that. We fight with this all the time. It's like, do we want to burn them as a character? Because if we burn them as a character, we can't bring them back as a comic. So, like, we burned Sheila as a character. We burned Anthony as a character. We've burned Rochelle Lozon and Darren Menezes as characters. Fiona O'Brien as a character.
Like,
Jerry Hall, character. Right. Yeah. So like that's the thing. It's like is it like better served as a comic? I might have you as a comic that has cancer that like is really playing up that they have cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of just being like, yeah, I'm just like whatever, I live with it.
Yeah, but I'm totally pandering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the attention of the audience.
Yeah.
And you know that my cancer's not even that bad.
Yeah.
But if you say my cancer's bad, then you look like an asshole, right?
Like, yeah, and like someone's like, it's not that bad. It's like, he has cancer though. And you're like,
Yeah, but
does he?
Yeah, but
it's the good one. He's going to be fine.
Yeah, I have cancer light. Yeah, I do too. That is kind of true. It's like stolen valor. You get it for, like, I do this kind of, like, mental illness you get no credit for. You get, like, punished for
it. Not anymore.
And then, cancer, I mean, you can just have, like, the tiniest little bit of cancer. You get, like, a parade.
Yeah.
You get ribbons. You get all this stuff, you know, and everyone feels sorry for you. And it's great, really.
Do you feel like you got ripped off, though, having cancer as an adult rather than as someone
because you can't do Make-A-Wish?
Because you can't do Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
Is this Make-A-Wish? Is like, can I get on the show, Make-A-Wish? low bar for Make-A-Wish.
That would be a really low bar.
Taking on your cable access.
Yeah, I don't understand why I can't get Make-A-Wish. I think you should give the kids their wishes first.
Adults should get it too, though.
But like then you go to the adults. We got to get some wishes. I think so. Younger adults first.
Yeah.
Still tragic if you're like 32 and you die.
But imagine you're 19 and you're like you're just out of the cutoff of Make-A-Wish. Yeah. It's 18 and under. And it's like, what the fuck, man?
Okay, well, what's your Make-A-Wish then?
Oh, I don't know.
You get one now. Just like, let's say.
I just want money. I don't have any, like.
No, you have wants. To. It has to be, like, hanging out with a celebrity or some bullshit. That's what they do. They're not going to give you just a check.
But, like, as an adult? See, I wouldn't want to do it as an adult because I would be so aware. It's like, I want to hang out with Bill Burr for a weekend. I know I'd get there. And, I know, like, in his mind, he'd be like, this fucking cancer guy's here. I can hang out with him for a weekend. I guess, sure. And I'm sure it'd be fine. But but knowing that he would be thinking that.
And he's only with you.
He's only with you.
Sorry, he's only with you because you're sick, you know, and he thinks you're going to die. Yeah, and he's doing it to make himself feel better for all the bad things he's done. So it's not like, it's empty.
Can you wish for three more wishes?
No, you can only get one. Make a wish, and that's it. And I think I would go with, you got to go with like a whore then, right? Like a... Like some sort of real trampy girl.
I
want
to catch hepatitis from Pamela Anderson.
If you're going to die, if I'm really going to die.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Pam is a little long in the tooth.
That's true. She was like, this is how I know I'm getting older. I'm like, I turned 35 in July. I'm not old.
No, I'm not old young. Enough. No, you're like, you could be considered middle-aged.
I know.
Right. But I don't think you're going to die at 70.
We'll see. But Disney Plus has that Pam and Tommy show.
Yeah.
Have you watched it?
Not yet, no.
It's okay.
I hear good things.
It's not bad. It's like Seth Rogen does it. So there's a whole thing with like Tommy Lee's dick is talking.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
But overall, I'm just like, how is this going? I thought this was a true story. It's like kind of whatever though.
Yeah.
But that's when I was like, oh shit. They're like, I'm old. Like they're making this from like, I remember when this was a thing.
The
sex tape. And like people were like trying to find it on the internet. And now they're like, it's nostalgia and they're bringing it back. Like
that's all they do now.
That's it.
Even the whole Super Bowl was just fucking like, hey, you guys remember this? You
remember the early 2000s?
Yeah, we're going to do it again. It's like, Jesus Christ, come up with something new, man.
I saw a meme that was like, man, finally, they're doing a halftime show without The Who or Paul McCartney, all these old people bands. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, man. Because like that was 22 years ago that... Dre 2001 came out. It came out in 2000. Like, it was like...
Yeah. You think about, like, right now, if you look at, the Chronic, right? It was 2000, right? Wasn't it?
But I bought it on my 13th birthday. My neighbor gave me $40 to go buy CDs.
And NWA was before that.
Yeah.
Right? So, like we're talking...
Early 90s. NWA is like... Snoop beat a murder charge in 93.
Yes, even late 80s was NWA.
Yeah.
And so that's like 40 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
I was in grade school when Eminem came out and people started dyeing their hair blonde.
Oh, yeah?
So I was in grade 7 when he came out.
I was married.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember that. I was went to Vancouver.
But you're Dutch. You guys get married at like 20.
Oh, yeah. Plus rural. Plus, it's like a whole bunch of Catholic, you know, a whole bunch repressed, you know, all those reasons.
Sure,
But it worked. It worked, I guess.
It's still here. You got some kids.
Yeah, I got some kids.
She brought a meat tray. Like you guys are thriving.
Yeah, it worked out. So I can't complain. Anyways, I wanted just to say, I thought I had one more thing. But I just want to say thanks, Mike.
Hey, thank you.
We took you a long time. I took a lot of your time. But I think it's been a great show. I didn't even know it went that fast. It went super fast.
Yeah, we're flying.
Right? It was super easy. Sorry, Jen, if we talked too much shop, but I think we did good. We talked a little bit about the kids. We talked about your new show.
Yeah.
Have we told people where they can find you?
Well, this
is the thing is on Bell 5. If you're in the Hamilton area.
I think it's like Canada-wide.
Canada-wide 5?
You can watch it. But it's like the way that like you go, so it's so stupid. It's like on the on-demand channel for Fibe, and then it breaks it out by like region.
Oh.
So maybe I shouldn't say Canada-wide. I don't know. But like I can watch Atlantic Canada Fibe shows.
So you should be.
So yeah. I should be able to.
Yeah, conceivably. Anyways, check out Vibe Listings for This Is a Thing. And if it's not there, why don't you contact them and ask for it, right?
Yeah. Do that. Or follow tit.hamilton, T-I-T-T.hamilton on Instagram and you look right into the camera. And then send us a message, and I'll send you the link if you want to watch it. I'll send you the link.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it.
I'll do it.
There's a lot of former guests of the show that are on the program, so you'll see a lot of familiar faces. One notable one that's missing is a controversial guest of our show, Joe Botello, not on an episode ever.
No.
Blacklisted?
He's not blacklisted.
I just never worked him in yet.
I don't know where to put him in.
I try to find people. Eric Johnson? Is he on next season?
No. He's not on next season. Eric Johnson unfollowed me and deleted me from everything because he's not in the season.
Oh, really?
I swear to God.
It's a sore spot. So it is actually causing problems to not be on it.
Yeah.
Because you're representing a scene, right?
Well, so I'll tell you, like, we wrote a character. Doug ended up playing it. It was like, we, like, rip on him. He was like, flexing on stage isn't a bit. That's all, like, we say. Like, we're like, is Eric going to be able to take it if we put it in? And it's like, oh, I don't care. No, it's just like, let's get Doug. Let's get, like, this is, like, zero offense taking, like, people I like hanging out with.
Yeah.
That's it. It was like, it wasn't like a slight. It was like, it's just easier to get people that I've spent hours.
But he's playing Eric.
He's like a little bit of like, no, he's not like playing him, but like just like a spoof of like.
Yeah, a spoof of him. Yeah. Elements of him.
Elements
of his online persona or whatever. Yeah, that's funny. Anyways, I was sorry. I was just mixing up shit at the end.
No. That's
and I almost
fine.
Let Jed out of the woods there, but no one listens to the very end, so I thought I could get a couple perfect. Out of it. Yeah.
There's a few that we didn't get in there. Yeah. A few comics.
Yeah, I always try to find them. Where I'm like, who's in there that's a shoe-in? Like, as far as, like, there really are part of the scene and then you miss them. But it's hard. You got most of them in there.
We got a lot.
Was Black Zeus in it?
Yeah, he's in the second episode, buying mushrooms from Manolis. He's in the back.
Oh, right. Yeah, I thought, yeah. So, but you got, like, a lot. So it's pretty cool. It does actually, it's nice because you get different venues of Hamilton. You get different, it's not just Levity, and it's like, it shows some of those other, like.
You got Winky Judge.
Yeah. Emerson going to be on in the future?
We've talked about it, yeah.
Season 2, maybe?
Season 2, like, is, like, mostly Record Store.
Oh, yeah.
I will say that. There's, like, some stuff at
Levity. Is it all written and stuff?
Yeah. We go to Cameron in a couple weeks. We're building a record store in my studio.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations on the studio, too. That's a big deal.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a big undertaking, but it's so far so good. It's working out.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah. I'm real proud of you, Mike.
Thanks,
and it's been nice to watch you stick your neck out there and get stuff done.
Thanks, dude.
And I always like to see my friends do well. So I wish you all the best in the future. Thank you so much for coming back in to support the show.
Literally anytime.
All right,
now
cool.
Now I have to get you on season 2. I'll get you.
No. No, don't do season 2.
Season 3.
3. 3, I'll start becoming sour. But I still think of myself as out of town. I get an asterisk like a Tig Wright or a Tom Humble Donald or something like that. You know, like
we just keep talking. I know, but like when we were shooting season 1, there's a bunch of guys. We're gonna get Dave McInnes. We're gonna get Tom. We're gonna get Tyler Morrison for that Winking Judge scene as like just like drunk hecklers.
Yeah.
And then COVID. It was in the middle of COVID, so it's like we literally can't bring more than like 20 people on set.
Yeah.
So we're like, sorry, man. Like
you filmed all that in COVID.
All of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess you did, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that does create... Yeah, those would be good drunks.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they would be actually drunk.
They'd be actually drunk.
Yeah. But those are fun guys. I really miss some of those guys because I haven't been... I got a message out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I'll talk about this after the show.
Sure. Yeah.
We'll talk about this after the show.
Yeah.
For all you guys that have stuck around to the end, thank you for listening. Tell a friend. You reach out and give us some, I can't do it, but some feedback. Give us some feedback at lifeinthedutchhall@gmail.com, or you can go to Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all that shit. We are The Dutch Hall. And let us know what you think. Other than that, we will see you NT. See you next Thursday. Then it does work with some people because they wait to then, sure. And they say that's their favorite part.